stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you now. Father, we glorify and we praise your holy name. You're worthy. Father, touch us, each one of us, Lord God, in the only the way that you can touch us, in a special and unique way that touches our hearts and changes our minds. And Father, we thank you right now, Lord, for your sweet spirit. We thank you for your grace that's sufficient for us and your mercy that you gave us brand new this morning. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God who's with us and guiding us, and that sealed us until the day of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers us, that cleanses us, that cures us, and Lord God, that connects us to you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word that is sharp, that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, that dividing us under soul from spirit, bone from marrow. We thank you, Lord God, that it sustains us and strengthens us when we hear it. Father, we thank you now for the anointing to be able to hear and receive your word with joy. We thank you, Lord God, for the anointing to be able to preach your word, Father, that others may hear it, Lord God. In the name of Jesus right now, we look God, into the hills for what's coming. Our help comes from you. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you now. We thank you that you thought enough of us today, that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. Sent your word to heal us. And Father, we give you glory and praise and honor now for that. Father, we will be glad today, Lord God, to just lift our hands and praise and thank you. And Lord God, and magnify your holy name. Father, we will join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare that you are holy, God, that you are holy, God, you are holy, God. And your glory fills the earth. We thank you now, Lord. We praise your name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll use for a thought and a topic, a title, a tag for this message this morning. Because of his word. Amen. Because of his word. So, this place is where men ought to worship. Now what we got to see here is that now she's getting into the place where Jesus wanted her to start talking. He wanted her to talk about worship. Because you can't stay wicked and worship at the same time. Lord have mercy. You can't keep your wickedness and worship God at the, I'm talking about true worship. I'm not talking about playing church. I'm not talking about playing with God. I'm talking about that you truly want to worship him in the beauty of holiness. Amen? And so she said, we worship on this mountain because the Jews had turned their nose at the Samaritans. The Samaritans made them a spot, and they built a temple to counter the temple that was built in Jerusalem so that they would have a place to worship too. Amen? And so when they had built their temple, they said that our fathers say that we ought to worship here because this place right here is better than Jerusalem because, by the way, this is where Jacob met the Lord when he left Laban's house. This is where Joseph's bones lie. This is where, you know, she began to talk religion to him. And sometimes when you talk to people who really don't want to let go of their wickedness, they try to tell you why, and they often get into religion. When you tell them they need a greater relationship with God, they tell you, well, no, I go to this type of church and not that type. Well, I just want to know one thing. Doesn't matter what type of church you go to, but do you believe what the word of God says? Is that a Bible-believing church, or is that church caught up on religion to the point that that denomination comes before the word of God, that denomination comes before what God wants from you? I wish I had somebody here. Oh, yeah, we got so many churches today that they're so caught up in denomination and all this denominal stuff that does not amount to anything. Do you know that once we get to heaven and then come back from heaven to earth, there will be no Baptist section, there will be no Church of God in Christ section. There will be no Church of God section. There will be no white church and no black church. But the church will be the church, and the church will look like God because the church is the body of Christ, and it's going to look just like Christ. Do we know that? And so she started talking religion. She started talking about my church is better than yours. You know how we do. We start talking about you know, and they do it around here. Our church is the Holy Ghost headquarters. Why do the Holy Ghost need a headquarters? You know, you ain't got to go to him. He's always, if God is everywhere, why would he have one central place that the only place? See, that is not even theologically correct, not even theologically sound, to claim that you're the only place. Lord have mercy. Glory be to God. I'm not going to even get into that because that vexed my spirit half the time. I talk to those people, I'll be like, Lord Jesus, let me deliver me. Give me a way of escape from this conversation. Amen. Well, so the woman goes on to talk about worship. And then Jesus said, woman, believe me. Verse 21, the hour coming. We're at the time now where neither in this mountain or at Jerusalem you'll worship the Father. And what Jesus was saying, that ain't no church going to be better than the other. He said, we're at an hour now, at a time where you don't have to be looking for a place to go worship, because the worship experience ought to happen on the inside of you. We ought to have an experience on the inside of us. The worship experience ought to happen. And what happens on the inside of me draws me to go connect with other people who is happening inside of too. So the reason I'm here today, the reason you're here, is because something happened on the inside of you that makes you want to connect with other folks that had the same type of experience. And we can get together, and where two or three are gathered in his name, he'll be in the midst, and we can finally have church. We can finally praise his name. We can finally celebrate him. That's why we gather together on this day. So he says, woman, he said, you won't worship at those places. And look at this. He said in verse 22, ye worship, ye know not what. In other words, you don't even know what you worship. You don't even know who you're worshiping. You don't even understand how you're worshiping. So her perception was all wrong, and the place was all wrong, but he began to give her some principles about worship. First off, worship is not mortar and clay. It's not a building or a denomination, but worship is the thing that we do as a lifestyle that we have to God. I worship him in the beauty of holiness. My life is dedicated to him. I am, the Bible says in Romans 12, he said, I beseech you, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He allows me to live, so therefore I worship him. And so I dedicate myself to him. Every word I speak, I'm speaking on behalf of him. All the things I do, I want to do it to glorify him. Oh, come on and say, man, I know we need our own time. I need to do some stuff for myself, but I need to do something for the Lord. And if I can do some things for God, he'll make sure that I have all the things that I need. I wish I had somebody today. He says in this word, he says that you don't know what you worship. He said, for salvation is of the Jews. In other words, he began to tell them, he says, salvation is of the Jews. In other words, salvation, he began to explain to her that salvation is easy. It's like sipping water, amen? All you got to do is drink it. He began to talk to her about the salvific experience. After he convinced her and showed her compassion, and he told her, and she began to confess, you know what you're talking about, but he began to talk to her about this worship. He made her cognizant of the fact that she did not know who she was to worship. She thought that it was all about ritual, that it was all about showing up, but no, it's about being who God wants you to be. It's about showing love and not just showing up. It's about following the principles of Christ. Come on and say amen. And so she began to, when he began to tell her that, she began to listen. And that's what we don't do at church anymore. We don't listen. If somebody says something that we might not agree with, because traditionally I heard it that way for 30 years. And if somebody tell me something different, I ain't going along with that. But read your Bible yourself. Be like the Bereans. Read and understand what the word of God is saying. So when somebody tells you something, you don't have to wonder if it's true. You'll know, because the Holy Spirit will let you know, girl, that's true. Oh man, yeah, that's the right thing. Or maybe the Holy Spirit will say, there's a flag, you need to get out of here. Oh, come on and say amen. So he says salvation is of the Jews. And what he was trying to let her know is that the only way that salvation is going to come, real salvation, is if the Jew, the Jesus Christ that we know, that he would die on a cross. Amen. The way that God said that salvation was going to come, the word of God coming through them. And so he says salvation is of the Jews in verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in what? Truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And so Jesus said, here's the principle. You need to worship in spirit and in truth. You need to not think that you can worship God in your flesh, because flesh glories not in the presence of God. Your flesh can never be good enough. Your flesh can never be obedient enough to please God. So we have to please God by spiritually speaking, by letting our spirit lead us and letting our spirit guide us. Come on and say amen here. And so he said, you must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. You must know the truth. And who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so, in other words, you need to know who Jesus is. And I'm here to introduce myself to you. That's what he was telling this woman. I'm here to let you know who the truth is. I'm here to let you know what the truth is. I'm here to show you truth, because what your father's been telling you is all right, but it hadn't changed your life. What your father's been telling you was okay, but you're still doing what you're doing. What your father's has been telling you is all right, but you still got a man laid up at the house. Oh, come on and say amen here. You still do the stuff that you want to do, but when you meet the truth and when you understand the truth, you got to decide for yourself that I'm going to do what God wants me to do, or either I'm going to do what they do. Oh, come on and say amen here. So I must worship him in spirit and in truth. He said I got to worship in spirit and truth, but then he says the Father seeketh such. God is looking for somebody that worship him that way. He's looking for somebody who wants pure worship. Not this stuff that we conjure up. You know, when we worship God, you shouldn't just worship him when somebody's looking. Or worship him when somebody reminds you. You ought to worship him when you're all by yourself. When ain't nobody looking. When ain't nobody around, what are you doing? My worship won't let me get into wickedness. Lord have mercy. Okay, let me go on, because I know it's time is going by. For then he goes on to tell her, God is spirit. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So if God is spirit, then we need to connect with God where? In spirit. In spirit. Now, if you are of any age and you think that this flesh is you, let me help you. The flesh is just an earth suit that houses your spirit, man, because that's who you really are. You're a spirit that has a body. And because spirit and body is connected, now you have a soul to govern between the two. And let me go a little further. I said this before, and just for those who hadn't heard, if we're triune, just like God, is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we are spirit, soul, and body, right? And if our soul, whomever is the strongest in our life, our soul is going to follow. So if my spirit man is the strongest, then I'm going to do spiritual things. But if my flesh is strong, my desires of the flesh is going to be what my spirit, what my mind does, or what my soul does. So what is my soul? My mind, my will, and my emotion. So when my flesh is the strongest, then I get emotional at fleshly things. If my flesh is the strongest, then my will is to satisfy this flesh. Preach. If my flesh is the strongest, then what's on my mind all the time is what I need in this flesh. But if my spirit is the strongest, if I fed him the word of God, if he's had the meat, if he's had the milk, the meat, and the mystery of the word, then guess what? My spirit is strong enough that it tells my soul what it ought to want, and despite of what my flesh says it wants, then my soul says, no, flesh, you can't have that, because the spirit man says this is what's best for the entire being. I wish I had somebody here. So he said, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And the woman said unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ, and he's going to come and he's going to tell us all things. And Jesus said, I'm the one that you're talking about. The one you're talking to, I'm he. How is it that we don't know when Jesus is speaking to us? We don't know. We've met him. We've had a conversation with him. We've heard him speak, but we don't know that it's him speaking. It is because we have not let go of some things. It is because we're walking in the flesh. And the only way that you can understand what God is saying is this: spiritually discern. Huh? It's the only way. I know people say try the spirit by the spirit. You know what it really says? It says try the spirit and see if it is of God. How? By measuring the word of God. By seeing if they're saying, if that spirit is saying what Christ has said, then yes, that is of God. If not, then that's not of God. Simple and easy. We make things too hard in our flesh. And you know, we don't have to work as hard because salvation is free. It comes by Jesus Christ, who's already given it to us. Amen. We try to work ourselves to salvation. I got to work to make this happen. I got to do this and do that. When you got favor, you don't have to work for it. Lord have mercy. I shouldn't even said that. Now I got to go into it. When your children, listen to this, your children, you got money, your children need something, you're not going to tell them you go to work for it. You're going to give it to your children. Jesus said this. He said that if you ask bread, how many of you give your children serpents? And then he goes on to say that if you ask your father for the Holy Spirit, he will give him to you. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to do what we can't do anyway, right? And so when God does something for us because of his grace, because of his favor, I don't have to work out salvation. Salvation happens when I believe for it. Yeah. Lord have mercy. All right, let me get through here. And so he says, and the woman begins to talk about, she says in verse number 27, and upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he talked to the woman. And then she left, and guess what she said? Come see a man that told me all the things that I ever did. And here's the thing that I like about it is that she got converted from a conversation. But here we are. We have plenty of conversations and no conversion. We got to have some fire from heaven for us to believe. We got to have somebody. You know, I remember the time, you know, people, they used to bring people to those meetings, those revivals and tent meetings, and let their feet grow out and their legs grow out. And, you know, they had to get a feeling in their tooth and, you know, all this stuff so that people would believe. They had all these tent revivals and all these evangelists and all these miracles was happening and all of this stuff was happening. And now here we are, we're left with nobody doing the tent revivals anymore. Everybody's on TV and they're talking about all these miracles and we still don't believe. And I'm almost done. He says, now, in verse 39, he says, and many of the Samaritans believe. Because of the woman. Do you know there are people that's watching your life? And they might change if you did. Ooh. They might do something different if you did something different. There are people that God has ordained for you to meet that when your life that you're supposed to touch, that you're supposed to help, that you're supposed to pull out of the pit. Right. Lord have mercy here. There are people that God has designed that when you meet them, you're not to give them a piece of your mind. You're supposed to give them Christ. But instead of giving them Christ, we offer them something else. We offer them water that they'll continue to thirst for. We offer them something that they'll keep having to go back to get filled again. But when you give them Christ, they don't need anything else. They already got everything. So why? Why do I say that? Because God is all in all. He's my everything. Grandma said he's my bridge over troubled water. He's my honey in the rock. He's my rock in a weary land. My shelter in the time of storm. He's a lawyer that's never lost a case. He's a doctor that never lost a patient. Do I have anybody? He's a friend that won't leave you friendless. If he's everything, if you give him Christ, they got it all. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm going to close it out here. And so he said that the woman went back to the city and told them, and all she said, this man told me everything I ever did. All he had to do was tell her what happened in her past. He didn't even tell her what was going on. She didn't even wait to hear the future. She didn't even wait to know what God had in store for her, because I hadn't seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for her, but it is revealed by his spirit. She didn't wait for that. She said that this man know my secrets. This man know the stuff I did. And so since this man know my secrets and he know everything I ever done, then guess what? You know what? This got to be somebody. I need you to know, can I get anybody in the house today that said, come see a man that from Galilee that gives sight to the blind, that heals the brokenhearted? Do I have any witnesses? This woman said, I need to tell you about this man. And then they said, well, you know what? Because it happened that somehow that this woman was a woman of ill repute. When she got back to the city, I imagine that she told the men of the city, he told me all my secrets. And so you know what? Their secrets was probably tied up with her secrets. And so they said, we got to go see this man because he might know something about us. And, oh, come on and say amen. And since he might know something about us, we might need to get on his good side, because we don't need him telling what we've done. I wish I had somebody in here. So they went, and sometimes that's how it is. We'll come to Jesus for wrong reasons, but somehow we fall in love with him. We come to Jesus so I can get a car, but I fall in love with it. We come to Jesus so we can get a house, but we fall in love with it. We come looking for a woman. I know some of you men do that, but we fall in love with Jesus. We come looking for a man, but guess what? I'm looking for a nice church-going man, but you find a man is Jesus Christ. That's who you need in your life. Do I have any witnesses here? But the woman told people, and how is it that we don't want to talk to nobody? How is it that we want to hold on to what God has done in our life? You need to run tell everything that God has done for you. You need to let people know that I serve a God who's not lazy. I serve a God that I ain't got to do nothing but wake up in the morning and he blesses me. I serve a God that reigns on the just as well as the unjust. I serve a God that if I seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, the things that I need are going to be added. He didn't tell me to pray for clothes. He's going to give me that. He didn't tell me to pray for a job. He's going to give me that. He has need. No, he has knowledge of what I need. He told me in his word that he'll supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Do I have anybody in the house today that say, I'm like that woman. I want to tell people what the Lord has done for me. The more I tell it, the more they hear it. I don't care if you get tired of me telling you what the Lord has done. I'm still going to tell you. I don't care if you get tired of me telling you. Oh, come on and say amen in here. If I'm going to tell it, I'm going to tell it. If you don't want to hear me, then you don't need to be around me, because I'm going to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I had a few people in here today, but because this woman had a blabber mouth, because she had a big mouth, because she didn't mind telling people what the Lord had done for her, they said, let me see who you're talking about. If he's so good, if he knows so much, let me find out who he is. And so they went down, and the Bible says in verse 40, so when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them and that he abode there 2 days. They said, look, we don't want you to ever leave us. We want you to stay with us and tell us what we need to know. And they get our religious straight. Get us straight, because we've been doing this wrong the whole time. It ain't nothing like when you're doing something wrong and God corrects you and you start to do it right. I often think about 20 years ago, the stuff I might have said while preaching that wasn't right, the stuff that I heard other people say, and they told me that probably wasn't right. And I wish I could go back, but since I can't go back, I'm just going to tell you that at some point that I had some wrong stuff that I said. But thanks be to God that people don't judge me from 20 years ago, but they'll listen to me today and realize that I got a right now word. Oh, come on and give God some praise up in here. And he said that he stayed there 2 days, and he said, and many believed more because of his own word. Do you know that we need to at least believe God because of his word? And once people hear your word about him, once they hear your testimony about him, they need to begin to believe God because of his word. What I'm telling you ought to make you want to get in the word. What I say to you ought to make you thirst for the word. What I say to you ought to make you want the water of the word. Do I have anybody that say, I need the word of God? Why do I need the word? because I can't start worshiping until I understand the word, until I hear what God has to say. Then I can really worship God. And when I start worshiping God, then God begins to give me more word. He begins to give me more understanding. By the way, do you know if you learn how to worship God after you've heard the word of God, then he will fight your battles? Well, let me get my own witnesses. You didn't say amen. Come here, Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 20. The Bible said that the word went forth, and one of the people in the choir began to say that this battle is not yours, that it belongs to God. And he said that you need to know that God's going to fight your battle. Jehoshaphat said, nobody eat nothing. Let's get on our face and worship the Lord. And as they were on their face worshiping, the Lord had already set up ambushments. The Lord had already took out the enemy. I wish I had somebody. And all they did was get up and say, the Lord is good. His mercy endured forever. Do you know how easy that is? You don't need to fight in this battle. You just need to hear the word of God. And when you hear what God has to say, and when you know what his word has said, and then you begin to worship the Lord, then God will take the enemy out of your life. Do I have anybody? You see, that's why the enemy, he wants to keep you from hearing the word. That's why he got all these distractions, so that you can't hear the word. That's why he got all this stuff that he does. The Bible said when the word is sown, the enemy comes immediately, because if you ever rejoice at the word, you already got the victory. If you ever just lift your hands at the word and say, I believe what God said, oh, come on and say amen here. It doesn't matter what it looked like. You may still have the headache. You may still have the backache, but the Bible says with his stripes, you are healed. And if you can rejoice at the word, the enemy got to let go, and he got to let God have his way. Do I have anybody here that say, all I need is the word? Well, let me tell you what the word did for you. The word came down and died for us. The word went to an old rugged cross, and he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders, and he died. Some of y'all don't see what I'm talking about, but John chapter 1 verse 1 said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and without him wasn't nothing made. But the word came and dwelled among us. Oh, come on and say amen here. So when the word dwelled among us, he took up on a real rugged cross, and he died on that cross, but he didn't stay dead. Somebody said the word can't die. The word rose early Sunday morning with all power. So you got to understand something. They might try to destroy you, but they can't destroy the word. I wish I had somebody here that realized words are powerful. Come on and shout yes here. When I look at my grandmother, when I look at my mother, sometimes I think about their passed on, but I can still say what they said, because their words live on the inside. And if their words are that powerful, how much more powerful is the word of God? I don't care what you do in life. I don't care what the devil tells you. You need to get yourself in the word, because if you can believe because of his word, come on and say amen here. The Bible says when Jesus rose, that he went to meet the disciples, and he walked right through the wall, and he said, Thomas, he said, here is my hands. Put your hands in the holes. Put your hands in my side, so you can feel the wound in my side. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. But Jesus turned around and said, blessed are they that have not seen, but yet they still believe. Can I ask you a question today? Do you believe on the Lord? Do you believe in his word? Do you believe that his word is all powerful? That his word can move mountains, and his word can create mountains? That his word will be a fence all around you every day? Do you believe that his word, that it was sent to heal us? Do you believe that his word will prosper you from the inside out? Do you believe that his word will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path? If you believe that his word is all powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, if you believe in his word that it is alive and living, why don't you say yes? Come on, say yes. I may not know three things. I may not know two things. But one thing I know,